Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Think Orange podcast. This is your host, Dave Adamson, coming to you live from the Think Orange bunker in downtown Forsyth County, Georgia. We're so glad that you're with us. This is episode 39. Once again, I am in this room by myself while my producer, Kevin, presses his little face up against a little portal window. That's all he's got is this little portal window, and he presses his little face up there because I know he wants to be in there. Say good day, Kevin.
Good day.
Close enough. Hey, today we are talking about tips and tools for time management and leading with a busy schedule. Now, I bet there is no one listening to this podcast who says that they are leading in a super busy environment and they could use tips and tools for time management.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the number one thing that people hear when it comes to time management and New Year's goals is don't have enough time.
So how many apps have you downloaded to help you with tips and tools, Kevin? That's the question of the day. It is a $1 million business.
Sincerely, I've been on a tear recently with this exact thing, trying to find better ways to automate and better leverage technology for my productivity. And we're talking about that today with Frank.
See, there we go. We download these new apps because we want to kickstart the year off a little bit better than we ended at 2017. So we think an app might be the one that saves us. But really, it's more about learning some principles and applying some strategies, which is what we're going to be talking about today. We have today Will Hutchison joining us. He's the next generation pastor at Next Level Church in Fort Myers. The next generation pastor at Next Level Church. I wonder if all of their titles have next in it.
Next generation at the next level. Yeah. Boom.
Oh, there it is. We haven't had any singing so far this year. That was as close as we've gotten so far. Hit it again. Go.
I got to do better than that.
Go. I think you can do better.
Next generation at the next level. I don't know. I got to. Hey, Will, I'm sorry for that, buddy.
I'm going to come back to you.
Yeah, give me a chance. I got
to
find.
I want you to find your internal rhythm.
Yeah, okay? I'm thinking about Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
Wow.
You know, because time management, so I'm thinking time after time.
Well, you just
time
need to.
Time after time. Boom. How you like that?
I still want to come back to the next gen at the next level. I still want to come back to that, but you got to stop downloading some tips and tools app and start downloading some rhythm apps, maybe.
Yeah, I got to work on that.
Yeah. So he's going to be talking about what it means to, well, he's going to be talking about mastering the art of juggling. That's interesting. Now, you'll see what he means when we start hearing from him. But then also, I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to interview Frank Biela. Now, Frank is the Executive Director of Leadership Development at the Rethink Group, and he's the CEO of Phase Family Centers. He's also got a growing family. He's a guy who is juggling a lot, and he's got some fantastic tips and strategies to help you lead better when you are living in a busy environment, and you are absolutely going to love that. And in fact, he's also going to kind of talk a little bit about the myth of balance. Kevin, do you know anything about the myth of balance?
Actually, I do it because a fantastic book that Frank actually wrote.
It's a book by Frank Biela, and it is the sponsor of today's episode.
Now, hold on. Before you jump into this fantastic pitch, because the book is worth...
I'm winding up for the pitch.
Yeah, you wind up for the pitch. I do want to let everybody know something. As the producer of this podcast, I want to give a disclaimer. We are not moving toward a situation where the sponsor of every podcast is also the guest on the podcast. And I know you were saying, Kevin, why are you saying that? Because I just want to make sure I clear the air up front. I know this is Carrie last week with High Impact Leader, and he's also a guest. This week we have Myth of Balance, which is by Frank, and Frank's a guest. This, I've actually asked these gentlemen if we can make them the sponsors for the podcast because I wanted you to know about the resources.
Yes.
Both of these resources I have personally been impacted by and seen other leaders be impacted by them. And I felt like we'd be doing you a disservice in January if we did not tell you they exist.
Yes.
Because I've always felt like as a leader, when people do not share the resources that are changing their leadership, I feel like they're being selfish.
I agree.
And so really, I feel like if there's a way for us to let you in on pieces that are kind of helping us with our secret sauce, yep, it's important that we share them.
And it is just a coincidence that it lines up in this way. In fact, really I am living proof of this because my book, Chasing the Light, has never been a sponsor of this show, Kevin. We need to talk about that.
Well, you know, let's talk about offline.
Well, as we said, today's episode is brought to you by The Myth of Balance, a new book written by
Frank Beeler.
Which walks you through a straightforward formula that can prepare you for the unexpected and not so unexpected, which is such a big part of the book, the not so unexpected events that distract you at the most inconvenient times. Kevin, this happens to you all the time. I know it.
Unfortunately, yes.
So you can learn how to create a predictable plan for handling the unpredictable things vying for your time at themythofbalance.com. Now, The Myth of Balance is a great book. You can get it at Amazon. That's probably the... Kevin, is that the best place for people to get it?
Yeah, you can also buy from the Orange Store. So if you're an Orange user, customer, partner, then you can go to theorangestore.org and grab it. But if you go to mythofbalance.com, he's going to be doing a workshop series.
And so, oh, really?
Yeah, a free workshop series coming up this month. So if you go to mythofbalance.com and register, you can actually get in that free workshop series. And one thing I know about Frank, and you'll hear that through the interview, he is committed to serving leaders.
He totally is.
And this book, him being on this podcast is not how he pays his bills and not how he takes care of his family. So I'm confident you can be rest assured that he's doing this from the right place in his heart. That's for sure.
And he's a guy with a lot of ministry experience. And one of the things I love is he starts out by saying straight up front, quite bluntly, quite blatantly, balance in ministry, work, and life really doesn't exist. We all think it does, but it doesn't exist, right, Kevin?
Absolutely. I've been trying to get that balance thing straight for a while. And I think that he talks about, and so does Carrie, talking about abandoning balance for passion.
That's so good. That's tweetable right there. Put that in the show notes. But this book talks about how you can make the necessary shifts in the way you lead and manage your life so that you can continue in ministry for the long haul. And I think we all want that. So get the help you've been looking for in the book, The Myth of Balance, or at themythofbalance.com. And, I know that Frank's going to be sharing some of the tips that he shares in the book in the interview that will come up straight after we hear from Will Hutchison. As I said, Will Hutchison is the...
Next Gen Pastor at Next Level Church.
That was so much better. You nailed it that time. And he's going to be talking about, just mastering the art of juggling. Take it away, Will.
Well, hey, everybody. I am the student pastor / Next Gen Pastor / Young Adults Pastor / the funny host guy whenever my church does a big event guy at my church. And I'm guessing you're in this room because you can relate. How many of you have more than two jobs on your plate right now? Oh yeah, look at this. We are the most stressed out group in the entire conference. I'm so excited when Orange asked me to do this breakout topic because I'm like, you're giving me the most stressed out people at 3:00 in the afternoon. I'm excited about this. This could be really, really fun. And so here's my hope. My hope is, honestly, that we can be a little vulnerable in this room and that we can be honest that this ministry thing is kind of hard. And honestly, that, yes, this is mastering the art of juggling multiple ministries. I'm not sure there is ever such thing of mastering, but perhaps there is this thing called an art. And that's what we're going to kind of focus on. We're going to focus on the art of juggling multiple ministries each week because we are all in the same boat. We are juggling, spinning plates. We are going 100 miles an hour. I've always had multiple ministries on my plate at our church. I started off as our student pastor, but any student pastors in the room? You're never just a student pastor. Right? It's never the case. So I was a student pastor to that. That's how they hooked me. But then I soon became the setup and tear down guy because we were portable. Somebody can relate. And then I became the video guy just because I was young, not because I had any idea what I was doing. It was just because, well, you're young, you do the videos. So I did the videos. Then I produced our weekend services. And so I just had multiple plates spinning. Well, now, fast forward 8 years, I've been at Next Level Church, and now I'm our Next Gen pastor. And I kind of oversee multiple different ministries. But specifically, if I can be honest, I just went through probably one of the hardest seasons of ministry I've ever had. This past December, actually, recent. This past December, we had an executive leader who resigned, and that caused a little bit more on my plate. Well, in the midst of that, we restructured our entire church because we're a multi-site church. So the two people that I had in kids ministry at our primary campus, they shifted positions. And so I then became a kids pastor and the other kids person, the coordinator. So I was doing two kids jobs as well as the student pastor position that I was already doing because we haven't staffed that. And so that's this guy, you know, and as well as the executive position. And honestly, it was hard. I was doing four jobs the month of January. And then it got harder. Because in December, I had to let go the one guy that I had in student ministry who was helping me coordinate things due to behavioral issues and some decisions that he made. And so that was five jobs, first week of February. And I looked up and I'm like, how am I going to survive this season? This was the most painful, the most difficult season by far I had ever experienced. And thankfully, I had a few things set up in my life that honestly helped me. And those are the things that I want to share with you, because I'm not saying that if you apply these, all of a sudden your life's going to get better. That's probably not going to happen, or rather fix, I'll say that. My hope is that it will get better, that there will be a little bit of pressure alleviated as we learn the art of juggling multiple ministries each week. Because here's kind of the problem, and I got these cups up here to illustrate this. We tend to look at our lives in the context of our responsibilities. Like you have a part of your life that's focused on finance, right? You have to manage your finances. We have family members, right? We have ministry. That's in multiple of these, oftentimes. We have fitness. You know, we want to maintain our health. And we have our faith, right? I mean, this is something we want to maintain. We want this to be there. And fun, right? We want to enjoy life at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you don't want to look up one day and be like, man, I didn't have any fun. But the problem is that we've only learned that, okay, we have to take our responsibilities, and with our responsibilities, we have to manage our time, right? So we come to breakouts like this, we come to seminars, and the goal is, if I can figure out a way to manage and prioritize my life better, then somehow I'll be able to fix it all. Like somehow everything will be equal, but nothing is ever equal. You wonder why it's never equal? Because you never get more time. You only have the same amount of time. So regardless of how much we reprioritize, regardless of how we organize our time or manage our time, the problem is we only have 168 hours a week. And so here's what we do. We go through seasons and we say, okay, right now, I would say ministry is a big deal. I just started a new church, like a new position. This is a big deal. I got to prioritize that. You know, finance, we can talk about that later, but I want to have family over here and faith and fun. And all of a sudden, we start prioritizing and we start divvying out our time, right? And we fill up a little bit with ministry, and we fill up a little bit more with faith. And then, you know what, we're going to have a little bit of fitness in there. And finance, well, yeah, right there, you know, right? And then we have faith, and like, I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day, right? And then fun, we're just not having any fun, right? So what do? One day we look up and we say, I'm just not having fun. One day we look up and we're like, my relationship with Jesus, this is not okay. I want there to be more. And so we choose to say, okay, let's reprioritize. So we start all over again, and we reprioritize things. So we shift ministry down, and we shift fitness down, and we put fun back up, and we put fun in the middle here and ministry in the middle, and we reshuffle it all. And we say, okay, right now I want to have fun. And so boom, we do that. And then we reprioritize. And so we say, we're going to have a lot of fun. There goes my notes. That's what happens when you use water illustrations and ministry and then faith and then fitness. And one day we look up, we look in the mirror, and we think, what happened? And what happened was we don't have enough time. And so we reprioritize all over again, and you get the idea, and we put fitness in the front, and we start going to the gym every day, and our friends are like, you're a gym rat. No, I'm into CrossFit, you know, and then you keep on going over and over and over again. And after a while, isn't this true? Come on. We're just exhausted. We're exhausted from constantly reprioritizing. We're exhausted from trying to add more and more and more. But the problem is that if our only tools are reprioritizing, and if our only tools are trying to shift and squeeze as much as we can, the result ultimately will be that either we have to juggle faster or we have to juggle more. And when we juggle more and we juggle faster, the eventual outcome can only be two things. It can only be that eventually we look up and we've dropped everything and we're burned out. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time with that. Like, I have a hard time just thinking that that's going to be the end of it all. That we just juggle and we juggle and we juggle until the point that we burn out. And so many of us, we can probably think of people who that's been their destiny. And that's been their story. And some of you, you're like, I desperately don't want that to be my story. And I don't want that to be your story either. So what do we do? How do we change this? Maybe you feel like my friend Derek, who is a student pastor in my city, who I've been coaching for a couple months. And Derek told me, he said, listen, I feel overwhelmed. He's at a small church of about 100. But even still, he's doing everything. He's overseeing student ministry and children's ministry. And Derek is often working till 2 a.m. trying to crank out emails, trying to get his kids to soccer practice, trying to do this. And so it started with high caffeine intake because he's not sleeping well, which then created a cycle that he wasn't sleeping well. And the next thing you know, Derek says, I've gained 30 pounds and I just feel terrible. And I don't know what to do. And maybe you feel like Derek. Maybe you've walked in today and you feel just frantic from the constant juggling of more and more and more and reprioritize and reprioritize and reprioritize. And maybe you're looking at your life right now and you're saying things are out of balance. So what do we do? I want to offer this idea, and this is the main idea that I want to share with you, is that we stop thinking in terms of prioritization and start asking a different question. And here's the question I want us to ask is, how can I multiply my time? How can I multiply my time? Because you only have 168 hours. So if you only use those 168 hours to just divvy out between all of your responsibilities, then you will only have those 168 hours. But what if there was a way? What if there was a way to actually multiply our time? Not manage it better, not shuffle it better, but actually multiply it. What if there were some key elements, some key things that we could do that ultimately would give us more time tomorrow? Things that we could do today that would give us more time tomorrow. A guy named Rory Vaden wrote this in his book, Procrastinate on Purpose. He said, multiply your time by spending time on things today that will give you more time tomorrow. That's how you multiply your time. He essentially says, if you want to multiply your time, then you have to do things today that will ultimately give you more time tomorrow. Another tool that I use to help me is a tool called an ideal work week. And here's what this ideal work week does. It essentially stops asking the question, what time is it? And it starts asking the question, what time is it for? And here's why this matters. Because when we start to ask the question, what time is it for? Then we start to place things in order of our natural rhythm and our energy levels. So for instance, I used to, when a parent would come up to me and say, hey, can I have a meeting? I would look at my phone and say, well, I got all this white space. Pick a white space, like pick a blank spot. And I would just choose whatever works for them or whatever works for the space that I have available. And you know what I would often find? The more busy I got and the more plates I started spinning, that I was saying yes to that, but I was ultimately saying no to something else, like writing. So I'd get to a Wednesday night and I'm ready to deliver a message. And I realized that I booked all of my time in meetings. So I never had time to truly prep for this message. And then you bomb it. Anyone ever bomb a message? Communicators? Thanks for being honest. I told you, it's going to be therapy. Confession is good for the soul, all right? So this ideal work week started helping me, and I got this from a life coach that said, hey, listen, ask the question, what time is it for? Not just what time is it, what time is it for? And so placing things in appropriate blocks that fit with the natural rhythm of your life. Not just looking at free time, but rather looking at time that you've predetermined for that time. Here's some key questions for energy management. Are you filling up empty slots in your calendar without thought to energy? Are you thinking about energy? How can I arrange my week to place things in a pre-selected rhythm? Think about your rhythm. And then the third question is this: what do I need to stop doing in the next 3 months? Because if you want to manage your energy well, you're going to have to stop doing something. Here's the last one, is essentialization. Now, before you correct me and tell me that that's not a word, I know. I chose to make it that way. I wanted them all to match, and I wanted the word to be essential. So I created a word called essentialization, and here's what this means. It means to essentialize means to place things that which are extremely important first, right? To place things that were extremely important first. Now, here's the thing. The thing is that the things that demand time today are usually the things that aren't essential. That in fact, the things that are absolutely essential seem like today's distraction. But they're essential. They're essential for tomorrow's success. And so when we take the things that are essential and we choose to neglect them today because they're a distraction, then tomorrow we will find ourselves not at a place of success. So we haven't multiplied our time. So how do we multiply our time? We have to first essentialize, placing the first things first. Here's the key question on how do you know if something's essential? This is the question. I promise you this will change. It's changed my life, so hopefully it'll change yours. The question is this. How long will this matter? How long will this matter? How long will this talk matter? How long will this email matter? How long will this repeated weekly task matter? The reality is there's probably only 5% of what you're responsible for that really matters, really, really, really matters in the long scheme of things. And when we place this in comparison to eternity, what really matters? You and only you are responsible for the care and the health of your soul. You and only you. And that's essential. But yet, taking care of our soul today and slowing down and choosing to be silent seems like a distraction, doesn't it? It seems like a distraction to today's mess and today's chaos. But yet, silence and solitude and daily investments into the care of our soul is necessary for tomorrow's success. Jesus said you can gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul. You and only you can be a mom or a dad to your kids. You and only you can be a spouse to your spouse. You and only you can care for the health of your physical body. Right? Nobody else can control that. No one else can do that for you. But if we see that as a distraction today, then it will greatly affect tomorrow. And so we must place first things first. And I'm not saying that they have to choose, you know, it has to take up your entire life, but they need daily investments. These are the things, when we look at the things that are primary, that are essential, these are the things that need daily investments today so that tomorrow our time can be multiplied, so that tomorrow we can have success, that tomorrow we can be the husband, the wife, the father, the mother, the pastor, the leader that we want to be. We first have to essentialize the things that are truly, truly essential.
Well, we are so glad to be back here in the Think Orange podcast bunker. We are once again on the road, so you might hear some ambient noise around, but we are having fun. And today I've literally just pulled off the stage Frank Beeler. Now, Frank, I've got a ton of questions to talk to you. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing great. I do have to apologize, Dave. We were on a plane together, and I was going to give you a high five, and this guy leaned backwards, and we had this really awkward high five hand holding thing.
It became a hand hold.
It was awkward, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was interlocked
AirPods,
fingers,
AirPods in. Yeah. So we couldn't like talk. It was weird.
And I had my noise canceling headphone. Like we were just giving off the totally wrong signals.
It was a moment.
Totally a moment. Something to talk about. Hey, Frank. So what I want to talk to you about today is I've got a little thing here that tells me everything that you have done, are doing, and I just wanted to read that real quick. You're the Executive Director of Leadership Development at Orange/Rethink. You're the CEO of Phase Family Centers. You're an author. You're a podcast host. You used to be the family pastor at Elevation on the executive team there. You're also married, and you've got four kids. Dude, I'm sweating just thinking about what your day must look like. You are so incredibly busy, yet you are also so incredibly calm and cool, and you just seem to have everything together. What is the secret to your success?
Wow, that's a big question. I hope I'm doing it right. You know, I'm trying to figure it out. I think like the rest of us, there are plenty of days that do feel more overwhelming than others. I used not to do it well, just to be honest. And I feel like I'm doing it better. My family would say so.
Yeah.
Like we found a rhythm. And I think one of the big things was I used to lie to myself a lot about what my schedule really was and what my job really demanded.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So I would say things like, I would tell my family I'd be home at a certain time or I'd be done at a certain time. But then when you look at the schedule, there's no way that's possible.
Yeah.
And so I was always setting myself up for these negative conversations, these difficult, always letting people down. And it put me in this really hurried and broken state and stressful state. And so at some point along the way, I had to stop and say, okay, in my responsibilities and what I want to do, whether it be in podcasting or writing a book, what does that timeline look like really? What does my job look like really? I meet leaders all the time that tell me they're going to be okay as soon as they get that other staff hire or as soon as they get that more budget. And yet they've been saying those same things for the last several months. And so I'm kind of in this place of going, well, until you get that hire, what's your reality? What does your schedule look like until then, until everything miraculously changes? Because we all know that a hire doesn't fix everything, and that's a tension in and of itself.
Yeah.
But I think we in our mind convince ourselves that we're in just this kind of random season and it's going to get better. And yet I talk to people that they're part-time at a church, but they're not really part-time. And we can all laugh about that, right? It's like, oh, I'm part-time. That just means I get paid part-time, right? But let's define what that job really requires. And are we okay with that? Are we okay with the responsibilities, the time, energy, and effort it takes? And then share that, especially if you have family or friends or those close to you. Let them know what the job really demands. And so with my podcast, I've been dreaming about doing a podcast for a couple of years and kept stopping because while the content felt like it was there, the time wasn't there. It wasn't the right time for me to do it. And yet, could I have found a season where it felt a little slower right after Easter, right going into early summer where I could have been like, now's the time, I'm going to launch this podcast, and then been drowning a couple months in? Of course I could, but I have to be more honest with myself. And I think that when I started to do that, when I started to look at my schedule and know what the demands on my life were really, and when the difficult seasons were going to come and when they were going to be more complicated, how I was going to address those, it changed everything.
Yeah. I think anybody who's listening to this podcast they're in ministry, they understand everything that you've just said. We all get so super busy. We all have like 18 pleats we're trying to spin all at the same time. But I would really love for this particular episode to be super, super practical for all of our listeners and give them a couple of things that they could even start today. So you've got so many different hats that you wear, even just from an organization point of view. Where does the system start for you as far as prioritizing your to-do list?
Yeah, so this will be a little weird. I don't actually have a to-do list anywhere. It doesn't exist. There's not an app. There's not, people ask me all the time. I do not have a to-do list. I have a calendar. And if you ask me to do something, I schedule it on the calendar. So I will have a Evernote list of things that I will write down immediately, like, hey, you need to get this done. But it doesn't go on a to-do list or an app. I just have it there until I can put it on my calendar. That's all I do. Because I think tasks and responsibilities are equated to time. And yet sometimes we build this list that's not based on time at all. And to me, that's backbreaking. I don't know how to function in a list that's looming over my head, that's so overwhelming, but it doesn't communicate to me how long it's really going to take.
Yeah.
So things get pushed to the edges and to the fringes. And by putting on the calendar, I like to say I understand the fallout of my week, the things that come up that I didn't expect. When I put things on my calendar, and now that lunch that was supposed to be an hour on my calendar now becomes 2 hours or 2.5 hours because they needed me, right? I'm in ministry.
Yeah.
I want to pour into them. Their family's struggling, whatever it may be. There's fallout to that.
Yeah.
And yet if you have a to-do list, you don't see the fallout. You just still have stuff to do and stuff gets done or it doesn't get done and you just have to manage it. And so by putting it on a calendar and scheduling, every task and responsibility has time associated with it on my calendar.
Okay.
Then when my daughter says, hey, I really need you to be at this special daddy-daughter dance on Saturday, I can see the fallout for work or personal or whatever happens in light of that.
Yeah. I want to dig into the family stuff a little bit later, because I think that's super important. But I want to just make this, again, just dive a little bit deeper into the practicality of that. So you go into a meeting. You've scheduled that meeting. I think we all understand that you'd schedule an hour for lunch and sometimes that might bleed into two. But what if out of that meeting that you've just sat through, you have three tasks? One of them is to organize another meeting. One of them is to respond to some emails. And the other one is a larger project. Would you put each of those things into your calendar?
So I don't necessarily put them all separately because two of those things may have been scheduling another meeting will take me 5 minutes, right? That's no big deal. I just got to do a little work. Maybe send in a few emails. So I would do a 15-minute block for all those things. And what I've done over time is I've learned about how long it really takes to get things done instead of overestimating, oh, I'll just squeeze that in. The other thing I do when it comes to an email or a scheduled meeting, I just do it before I leave. Like I just go ahead and knock out some of those quick things that just have to be done.
Yep.
I will just sit there for two more minutes and go ahead and send that email and have that off my list before it even makes it to my calendar. I've already got that in either someone else's ball court and I've put on my calendar for next Monday, follow up to make sure that was done. In fact, that happened today. I needed a coloring picture design for this event we're doing for Orange in our community there at Vickery Village.
Yep.
And I sent an email last week. And as far as I was concerned, that's off my list, right?
Yep.
But it's somebody I don't usually work with. And so I sent it. And the only thing on my calendar was, along with a few other things on today, this morning, was to follow up and make sure that was moving.
Right.
And nothing had happened.
Yeah.
And so I got this little trigger, quick text. Hey, just want to make sure you got that email. Do you need anything? And I'm moving on. And so there's not this list looming over where at some point I need to follow up on that coloring sheet. Because if it's prioritized, that coloring sheet gets pushed to the bottom every single day, right? That's like the least of my priorities and concerns. And so what will happen is that coloring sheet becomes a frantic, chaotic thing this Friday before my event on Saturday. I'm totally stressed out about a coloring sheet that's now becoming way too consuming for my time and energy when it should have been a 3 or 4 minute task for me, right?
So just for the person who's listening to this, I want to make sure that I'm whatever questions they have in their head, I want to answer
that. Let's do it.
So let's take the coloring sheet as the example. You've scheduled a 15-minute block, and in that 15-minute block, you've got checking on the coloring schedule, maybe reply to a couple of emails. Is that what you're explaining?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And are you color coding your lists? Like, I'm assuming you have a calendar for work, but a calendar for podcasts, a calendar for your family, a calendar for writing, whatever it might be. Yeah. Are they all color coded?
No, because I only have one life.
Boom.
So I just, I mean, I know lots of people do that and it's really cool and I don't know how they keep up with it all. The only color calendar that's different for me is I have a separate one for travel because that benefits my wife and I to know where we're going to be and who's going to be where when we're making other decisions because that creates big fallout, right? If she's gone coaching on a weekend, I can't take on other responsibilities because I won't be there and who's taking care of our kids. And, like, so that one stands out. It's purple.
Yeah.
But then everything else is orange, whether it be family time or whatever, because it is just our one life. And so I can't compartmentalize because when I do separate calendars, I will inevitably schedule two things at the same time on two separate calendars. And I just don't know how to manage that. My brain locks up when I see stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if I keep it all on one calendar, it's all under control. It's all my time anyway. So I don't need to color code it. Now, will I put podcast time in the subject line?
Yeah.
So what I would do is in that line of that description, podcast, colon, write two blurbs for the upload and write content for 30 minutes. So I may do that and still identify it as podcast, but it's not a separate calendar, separate color.
Yeah. So every single day, you're just seeing the one list with the one color and all the blocks sectioned out.
That's correct.
So the next question I'm sure somebody in their car listening has is, what calendar app are you using?
Yeah, I use something called Fantastical. I don't know why, it's just I've used it for years. It integrates really well when everybody sends me requests out of their different calendars. I've just found it to be the one that just, I never have a problem with it importing something, and it works really well with Siri when Siri finds things in a text message. So Kevin texted me and said, hey, let's do this podcast at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And it immediately asked me, do I want it to convert this into a calendar appointment at 10 a.m.?
That's good.
And so I said yes, and then opened up my calendar to see, well, was there fallout from that? What needs to change or move in light of that?
Yeah, that's great. So now I want to talk about integrating your family into that. You talked a little bit about, maybe a daddy-daughter dance or some family event. That just goes into your calendar as well?
Yes, and I schedule family time, and some people think that's like kind of ridiculous. Like, you should be able to make family a priority. I do make a priority. I schedule it on my calendar. This is family time. Because once again, I need to see fallout. So if for some reason I committed to have a Tuesday night, we were trying to get all the family together because there were no practices, and it just kind of worked with our four kids that all do four different sports, yep. right? Trying to coordinate all that. In the event that I don't make that Tuesday, I want to see that I have to move it. Yep. And maybe it makes me feel a little guilty. Maybe I struggle with that a little bit. But if I don't move it, and it appears there's a block of time there, I will fill it with something. Yeah. And I'll fill it with stuff my boss gave me, or stuff I'm trying to get ahead, or that's when I deceive myself and think, oh, my podcast should be three times a week. Because yeah. I love doing little podcast things I do. They're super short, right? Yeah. They're kind of different. And so everything in me wants to do more than one a week.
Yeah.
But when I look at my calendar, that's not wise. Even though if I didn't put family time on there, it would appear that I had more time than I actually have.
So when you're putting a block of family time on, are you listing that like you would work tasks, or is it just generic family time?
No. So if there's a responsibility, or I'm doing something specific with Isaac. So my sixth grader, we had a special event last Friday night, just me and him. I note that as Isaac. And I personally, it's kind of the way we run our family. We try to get once per month, I get alone time with each of my four kids.
Yeah.
And so I schedule that. So it'd be Isaac family time. I don't describe we're going to the movie at this yeah. time, and I don't know how to keep up with all that. But then the rest of the time, I'll block off time that's just family time, and be aware of that. Because I hijack family time sometimes to get something done. I'm kind of a neat freak. My wife and I are. Our house like is always in order, and it's a little over the top. We clean our bathrooms every single night. It's like this thing we do. We're weird. We're weird people. And so,
is that scheduled on the calendar?
That's not on the calendar. That's just before bed. That just happens. My garage is a little chaotic right now. We just got a couple more bicycles for our kids, and it just feels cluttered. So everything about this last weekend, I wanted to go outside and straighten my garage. And that would have been a great time for me. And that would be like life-giving to me. Like that,
therapeutic.
Therapeutic, right? That would be awesome. But I was gone all last week.
Hmm.
And so if I chose cleaning the garage over family time, I just needed to be able to see that for myself. So I'm on Saturday morning. I look at my calendar too. And I don't just like, well, Friday's over, so Saturday is, I don't have a calendar for the next 2 days, or Friday and Saturday I don't because that's my off days with the church. That's time too. That has to go somewhere. And yeah. so even I love to mountain bike, and there's fallout to when I go mountain bike because it usually takes me 30 minutes to get there, and then I ride for an hour, and then I clean my bike when I get home. And it's easily a 2.5 hour thing to go ride my mountain bike. But I think most people kind of have their mind that it's going to take them about an hour to do that.
Yeah.
And so they think, oh, I'm going to go knock that out real quick, and I'll be home before breakfast. Well, no, that's really not true for most of us when we actually look at it. And so I've just had to get, going back to what we said earlier, very real with the calendar and very honest with how things are working. And with family, you know, I said this on our podcast, man, it feels like forever ago when we recorded one of the first ones, right? Early on. I said that, you know, we need to have good communication with our family and understand where they need us to show up and what really matters to them. And those things show up on the calendar. Because if I choose what is important to them, I will inevitably choose wrong. And so I'll miss out a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to one little thing, because I want to explain to you how I would do it. So my wife, Meg, she might text me and say, hey, on the way home, can you stop and grab a few things, you know, the supermarket? I will literally put that into a to-do thing so that I can look at it before I go and not forget. How does that work for you? I know this is super minute detail, but I want to know how that figures into your whole calendar system. Yeah, so Jess texts you and says, hey, pick up some milk on the way home.
Yep. So if it's literally milk on the way home, that takes me literally 2 or 3 minutes because it's on the way home.
Yeah.
If it's go buy, she's done a grocery order at Walmart and I'm going to do grocery pickup, that's 20 to 25 minutes easy. Yeah. Now, is that super helpful for her? Yes. Do I mind to do that? No. Is that going on the calendar? Yep.
Really?
And so I will put that on the calendar because I need to know where my time went. Nice. And I think the problem is most of us don't know where our time goes.
Yeah.
We look at the end of our week, we still have a to-do list that's not complete, and we're not sure where it all went, but we know we did stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just want to acknowledge that that's there. So a swing by, if it's 2 or 3 minutes, or I'm swinging by Redbox to get a movie,
yeah.
I'm not going to put that in there because that's literally on the way home.
Yeah.
But if it's something that takes a chunk of time, over 15 minutes, I put it on the calendar. Yeah. Even if it's on the days that I go pick up my daughter from dance to help my wife out, because that's normally when she does Tuesdays
yeah.
and I do the boys, but somehow this week it flipped.
Yeah.
I put that on my calendar because... Yeah. I need to understand where it went, because if I understand my time and how I operate, the next week will be more productive, and the next week will be more productive,
so good.
And I'll be more honest with myself, right? And yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we take on responsibilities in meetings. Sometimes they're given to us. We don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes we take on responsibilities because we're trying to climb the ladder, we're trying to impress somebody, or it just seems like a great privilege and honor.
Yeah.
And so we do it with a half-hearted schedule on our calendar, and we think we have plenty of time.
Mm.
But what inevitably happens is Sunday is still coming. It's still going to happen,
yeah.
and you still got to make copies and get things cut out and call volunteers, and that gets pushed to the fringes. For most yeah. of us, that's family time. And so what will end up happening is you'll focus really hard on that cool speaking opportunity because your pastor wants you to do the giving talk on stage on Sunday. You'll spend an inordinate amount of time on that. And then the things that still have to be done get pushed to Saturday night while you're spending time with family. You're also cutting out and you're trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And I just want to know that that's happening. I just want to be honest yeah. with myself. And yet if I have an open gap because I don't schedule my routine, and I think this is where people get sideways. They don't have their routine clearly defined and scheduled. So when the new opportunities or those sporadic things come up that they feel comfortable scheduling because yeah. they got to get their mind around it, it doesn't collide with the routine because the routine's not there because you've gotten in a rhythm. You know you do this on Tuesdays and this on Wednesdays, but it's not really a rhythm because it's always getting messed with.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I just don't know why our routine can't be scheduled. And then when we put our sporadic, it causes that fallout to happen.
Yeah.
And that's when things change. And that's when we can really learn about what our job really is.
Yeah. So you've been in ministry for a long time now, including, you know, being in leadership at, you know, one of the fastest growing churches in the US. You've worked and that huge staff at Elevation. How have you seen, no, let me ask it this way. Before you had all these rules in place, what do you look back on and go, I missed opportunities there. This is how it impacted me by not being this scheduled.
Yeah. So as a leader, I would focus on if I felt like my team was struggling a little bit, my volunteers were getting a little tired, or I was getting tired, I would shift to turning the passion dial more. I would just turn it up and give more vision, more passion, and that would just kind of cover a multitude of sins, yeah. right? That was the problem solver. And yeah. at some point along the way, I realized that if I don't give them practical, tangible ways to manage the chaos and manage all these responsibilities, I was failing. And I yeah. look back as a leader, and there was plenty of time that I turned the passion knob and got everybody really excited, gave them lots of vision, but they were exhausting or their marriages were unhealthy.
Yeah.
And I was just doing the wrong thing. I wasn't helping them.
Yeah.
And yet, if I would have given them some practical tips and helped them manage or talk through the tensions they're feeling in their schedule or what feels impossible about what they do, it could have made a big difference. And so yeah. I went a long time solving problems with my family or the people that I led or invested in by simply giving them more vision.
Yeah. Hey, one of the things I love about your book, The Myth of Balance, is you're extremely open. You are vulnerable in saying, hey, this is where I had issues and this is where my life was out of balance. You talk a little bit about how that impacted your relationships with Jess as well, your wife. How has that improved now that you've got all of these things in place? Because the thing I hear about you, on the word on the street is, Frank is one of the most present husbands and the most connected dads. And I think, you know, we all want that. We all want that with our spouse. We all want that with our children. So what are the benefits you've seen since putting this in place?
Yeah, big number one is communication, truly understanding how we're doing, opening up that dialogue. I can't remember if we shared this last time we were together, but my wife and I go for a walk every night. And that includes even when I travel, if I get home before 10:30,
yeah.
we go for a walk. It doesn't matter. It takes us 22 minutes to go for a walk. I've timed it. I know it around our subdivision. I know that's ridiculous. But that's that 22 minutes, I'll tell you what that does. that sets free that night any tension that's hanging out there and changes the trajectory of the next day. Because we're on the same page, we're unified with things we're dealing with, our kids or whatever. And so I learned a lot about how do I open up the lines of communication, especially when we're tired and late at night when communication isn't as good. And yet that's most of the time when we're home is in the evening when we're exhausted, right? So how do we open those lines of communication? So that's been a big, very practical thing for me. Another thing that's just been kind of a game changer is I have done a better job, and I used to never do this, and spending time together, I think you would hopefully see this in me. If somebody asks for something, I self-impose some urgency to that, especially if they text me. Because my philosophy has always been, if you text, you're waiting on this now. There's something you're trying to keep moving forward. And so what I've learned to do is, if I get a text in the middle of family time, my first response isn't to handle it. It used to be just to stop what I was doing and go handle that email or go do it. Yeah. It is to ask this question, when do you need this by? Because a lot of times what happens is we get an email or a text that we relate to urgency because it's from a senior leader or something else, and they're sending it because it crossed their mind.
Yeah.
Not because they're actually going to do something with it or do something that like really, really is urgent. I've tried to, as a leader, say, if I email you, I should always give you a timeline. If I don't, please let me know.
Yeah.
And if I text you, I'm actually wrestling with it right now. And every once in a while, I have to apologize because I texted something, created urgency unnecessarily.
Yeah.
But like on Labor Day or Memorial Day, you're trying to spend some time with your family. The offices are closed for most of us. And yet if somebody in our organization sends us an email, suddenly we're all in turmoil, like, oh, I got to get this handled. No, their family went out for breakfast and they didn't get up in time. So they're sitting around loafing around on the couch watching some TV and they decided to send a couple emails. But that doesn't mean that that's for us. So it was a game changer for me when things kind of invaded my family time.
Yeah.
And before I would just kind of throw off my family time because of it. To ask that clarifying question, more often than not, they didn't need it right then. And still today, they don't need it. Reggie Joyner's a great example of this. Reggie Joyner's mind never stops.
Yeah.
And so he sends text messages sometime between, I think he probably stops around midnight. Like I don't typically get them in the AM. But then let's say it's 7:20 AM to 11 midnight. I could get a text at any point. And when I first started working with Reggie, I mean, my heart would, oh, Reggie needs something. And I would start moving around and he'd be like, wow, I was planning on working on that next week. Thanks for getting that done. And it was just like this gut check for me. I'm like, wait, I just flipped everything upside down. And so I've just learned, let me just ask one clarifying question.
Yeah.
When do you need this by? And it set our family free.
Yeah. What I love about what you just shared is that's for everybody, regardless of what level they are in the organization, because you just explained some important things. One, if you're lower on the organization, you're responding to your boss, you have the opportunity to say, when do you need this by? Clarify that question and set a time limit to it. But also if you're a leader, I like what you talked about how you communicate with the people who report to you. So I just want to go over it again. If it's urgent, you will text. If it's not urgent, you will put that in an email, but with a time constraint to it.
Correct. And if I don't put a time constraint to it, I've asked everybody that I'm emailing to clarify that, to not assume that now, because I didn't put a timeline on it, it must be the equivalent of a text.
Right.
And I realized that if I didn't put a timeline on it, that just depending on how people operate with their information, they may very well like kind of jump to and panic. Yeah. And I'm wired that way. I am wired to, like, I genuinely want to just serve and help people move forward. And I don't want to be in anybody's way.
Yeah.
And I feel like when people would ask stuff of me, if I didn't respond immediately, I was somehow hindering ministry and progress. And so it took a long time for my heart not to skip a beat when I got a text, just to ask that one clarifying thing.
Yeah, that's really good.
So it's been a big deal.
I think there's so much in that. Even for me personally, I know with people who report to me, I tell them up front day one, hey, I may text you at 9 o'clock at night. It's just because something crossed my mind.
Yeah.
Don't respond.
Love that.
But that clarity is so important. And I think it's something we often overlook, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, so I'm thinking there's probably people who are listening and thinking this. It sounds like you are just a slave to your calendar. It sounds like you schedule everything from work we get, but even down to family time, that doesn't feel spontaneous. That doesn't feel romantic if you're scheduling date night with Jess or something like that. What would you say to them?
Yeah. So when I schedule a date night with my wife, we block off our time. It's usually about 4 hours we block off. That gives us movie and a meal, right? So we know that. But we don't have to do a movie and a meal. That's the time we set aside. If we go do something else. So, but if I'm not intentional about that time, I think it's less romantic to never see your spouse than it is to have some scheduled time to make sure you actually are getting time with your spouse. So does it seem like I have a slave to my calendar? I would say that most people, maybe if they say that to me, I would challenge them and say, you're slave to your chaos. You're running from one thing to another.
Oh, that's good.
Would you rather be a slave to a calendar or chaos? I don't know. I know some people are like, well, I don't want to be a slave at all. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to keep moving forward.
Okay. Hey, guys. Kevin here. I don't do this very often. I told my wife I would stop interjecting on this podcast. My wife was like, you keep jumping in rudely, but I have to do this. Because I think as a person who works with Frank, and I've only had the pleasure of doing for less than a year, but still it's been incredible. One of the things that got me excited about this episode was the opportunity to have him share this because I'm on the other side of it and I get to observe it.
Yeah.
And while it does sound like, you know, man, this guy's really locked into his calendar, you know, Jeff Henderson always says, you know, ask the question about what it's like to be on the other side of me.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, on the other side of Frank, it's really awesome. And I'm saying that because it is really inspiring to have a leader who's doing more than you are from a responsibility standpoint.
Yeah.
And then when they come into the room, they don't seem frantic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Him feeling in control of his own life, whatever it looks like for him, it shows up in his interaction with the rest of us.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And like I said, and I don't report to Frank, but our projects, you know, hit each other so many times, and he always shows up, and his countenance is one of confidence and calm and peace. And you're like, wow, okay. So if he feels this way about the project, I can feel this way about the project.
Yeah.
And also, I think it allows him to wield his influence with some responsibility. Because if he showed up and he was super urgent about everything all the time because he was behind on the project from a time perspective, we would all interpret that as this is the most important thing in the organization right now.
Yeah.
And for him, he's like, no, I just procrastinated and now it's due today.
Yeah.
But now he can use that urgency responsibly and say, this requires it because it's significant and it's necessary. And this one doesn't. So we're ahead of it. We're talking about it. It's scheduled. So why would I apply that? So and I think as a leader, I have been guilty so many times. I mean, so many times of creating urgency for my team strictly because I was not organized.
Mm.
And I had to come in and I had to either do it on my own because I felt guilty putting on them last minute.
Yeah.
I was being irresponsible with my influence because I had no idea that I was creating, because they're picking up on it.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, he does it well. Like, I can't speak for his family, but I can say as those who work with him, whatever you're taking as slave to the calendar, that is not how it shows up. Everybody, it shows up as true leadership, as organization, as vision, and as a person who's prioritizing what's important for the rest of the people who are following him. So I just feel like because that question's a really good one, but I can just be honest, that is not how it feels for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, Leah will be glad that you jumped in on that one.
She may not be. Hey, honey, how's it going?
Hey, so I just want to reiterate that. I love that. Slave to your calendar or slave to your chaos. We're going to put that so it's tweetable because that is outstanding. So the next part of that question is, you said that you check your calendar even on Saturdays when you're day off. Do you ever have a time where you're not connected to digital devices or anything like that?
So calendar, I'm pretty disciplined. I'll check it every day. I just don't check out unless my family, when we go on vacation, I disconnect pretty well. I used not to, but now I go dark and I'm pretty open with everybody that I'm going dark for this short time. But no, I check that. But what I don't do is I don't have a tendency of, I checked my calendar. Now I check my Facebook. Now I check my email and I go down that downward spiral.
Yep.
And so I can be very comfortable. I love Instagram. I love following people. I love seeing families and I love seeing what's happening. I love reading your devotional. Like, I just love Instagram. And so I can go there and not feel the pressure of clicking on 5 other apps on my phone and checking in because I guess as I'm getting older, I mean, we just had our 20-year high school reunion. Like, my life is like, that's a big deal, guys. Yeah. That's like jarring for your system. So I just had my 20-year high school reunion. And I guess I'm in a place now of like, no, I'm not really that important.
Yeah.
Like if I need to check my email that much, like nothing can function without me. That's probably more arrogant on my part to think that like I can't check out for a little while. And so I'm just trying to grow up in my leadership and go, you know what? If we have set terms of communication and how we're going to operate, then I think that's fine. And can they call me? And I'll answer my phone. Sure, I'll answer my phone. That would be the highest level of urgency.
Yeah.
Anything else, I assume, can wait till you know the next time I typically check my email.
Yeah. So one more thing I want to talk to you about is there are times in everybody's day, and I'm just wondering how you handle these. You know, like when we're on a commute, for example, there's times that is otherwise dead time. Mm-hmm. How do you personally utilize those times to become more efficient?
I'm so glad that you asked this question because I was going to add it at the end anyway when we were talking about slaving to your calendar. So here's my thing. I like TV. I like movies, like just the rest of us, right? I mean, we all like that stuff and can consume it. I love music. I love to read. I'm getting more into reading fiction and nonfiction. And some of that's for work, but a lot of that's just for pleasure, right? But I'm like, how do I squeeze in time for that? I have built in, and this is maybe sound ridiculous, even saying this out loud may be a problem. I'm a little embarrassed. I've built in an own personal reward system. So when I fly to somewhere, because that's one of those commutes, that's one of those kind of backbreaking things, right? Yeah. It just consumes time. And so when I fly somewhere, I always work going. And if I achieve everything I had on my calendar, I reward myself on the way back with a movie or sleeping or something else. I've added the rewards on the back end because I found that I used to justify, I've worked so hard, I just need a break. And I just need to watch TV. I just need to do this, but all my stuff isn't getting done.
Yeah.
And so I found that like, no. Do I still want to watch Stranger Things season 2? And I'm probably going to watch it pretty quickly. Yes, of course, I'm going to watch it. Like, that's a thing. And so how am I going to get a chance to do that? Well, I'm going to do that through a reward system of when I get things done.
Yeah.
Instead of going, well, I know I haven't got that podcast script written.
Yeah.
Nobody's waiting on it. It's me. It's personally, I either do it or I don't do it, right? I know I didn't get that written, but I just need a break.
Yeah.
And I just kind of work from a place of like, no, I'm going to get that done. And then if I want to stay up a little later and watch 2 episodes or whatever, that's fine. And so I just kind of flipped it from a standpoint of like, how do you relax and enjoy that drive time?
Yeah.
And then drive time also for me is when I consume the most content. So audiobooks, podcasts, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So workouts is music time. It used to be podcast time. Now I just do music when I work out or mountain bike.
Yeah.
And then drive time, commuting, that's all podcast. That's learning.
Yeah.
And hopefully some application. And that's when I do most of my phone calls because there's a clear stop.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to get to a destination and need to hang up the phone.
Yeah.
And so whether it be calling and connecting with friends, family, or a ministry call I need to make, or a real estate agent just called me about something literally while this podcast is happening, I will call him on my commute.
Yeah.
So now here's the cool thing. I've already got that time set aside and I won't block that off. I'll just call him. I'm literally getting in the car in just a minute.
Yeah.
And that costs me no time.
Yeah.
But for some of us, we tend to be like, man, I've had a crazy morning. I've been running around. I got up earlier than I expected. I just need to chill for a few minutes.
Yeah.
No, I'll chill on the back end.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know.
One more question.
Yep.
How do you make that transition between this is my work stuff on my calendar and then this is my home stuff? And here's the context of that question. I know for me, when I pull into my garage, I usually use that time. I let the door close behind me, so I'm sitting in the dark, and I usually use 1 or 2 minutes minimum just to pray and say, okay, God, help me to leave everything behind and help me to be present in my house right now. Now, I'm not always good at that, and if Meg's listening, I know I'm not really good at that. I've got to get better. But what do you do? Is there a mechanism you have that shuts you off from work and allows you to enter into family time sort of free from any of the tasks you might have?
Yeah, that's interesting. I have a very similar approach. And so for me, we used to do this thing where daddy's home and the kids would come running out into the garage, like when it opened it, and it was Jessica trying to create great anticipation in our household that I'm home. Like it's just positive thing. Well, every day it was like a thing. And I realized that sometimes when I pulled in the driveway, I was still on the phone with somebody. I was trying to finish something up or whatever. And I realized that that was creating so much stress And yet my wife is just trying to create this great environment for our household. So now it's when I come through the door, we yeah. still do that. Like they have to drop video games, they have to pause, whatever. It's pretty evasive. Like yeah. it's like a thing, but it just creates this positive, like let's shift gears, family time.
Yeah.
She does it so well. But I realized when they came through the garage, the worst feeling for me was to have my AirPods in and be on a call and me hold up my finger to my daughter who's mm-hmm. running out to greet me. That's the worst feeling
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, totally.
And so I've realized also I can't do like some power conference call as I'm walking into a sporting event. Like I can't shift gears fast enough.
Yeah.
And so what I've realized is that I have to schedule those before I arrive. Yeah. Like I can't do that. Oh, I've got 10 minutes in the car. I'm going to knock out this call real quick. My mind will be somewhere else and I will not engage. Yeah. I know that, especially with all this stuff with FaZe Family Center. I mean, we're talking to all these investors and it's just big thinking and it just requires a lot. And when I get off the phone, I'm amped. I want to do a transaction.
Yeah.
And so calls going into family time are pretty far off track for me because there's an actionable item off that call. There's always an actionable item off every yeah. meeting, every call.
Yeah.
And so do I want to create something that there's an action item as I'm engaging with family or friends?
Yeah.
It seems like the wrong time. So I need to do that call over lunch or squeeze that in or when yeah. I want to do something else, I need to do that. Now, I will do phone calls while I'm working out all the time.
Yeah.
While I'm on the elliptical, I will do a phone call with somebody because I'm already pumped up. I'm ready to go. And then I'll go ahead and get some work done. So I'll do that.
Yeah.
But I found that phone calls going into family time isn't good, and I need that little bubble.
Yeah,
it was a huge transition for me. I now work 2 miles from where I live, and yet at elevation, I drove about 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And so it's been a big shift for me of like, I had this huge cushion to kind of prepare, and now it's like, oh, I'm home. Like I yeah. blinked. There was the red light was green, and I'm home. Yeah. I don't know what to do. And so I think it's integral that people find what their thing is
yeah.
to do that. But I love your intentionality. I think there's something about get me in the dark. I need to have this mental shift. And how can we not undermine our intentionality by letting the kids run out?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, I've done the wrong thing.
That's good.
So yeah,
that's good.
It's practical.
Hey, Frank, it's the new year. It's January. I know everybody's like, this has been super helpful because this is the time when we all start to reinvigorate our calendars and we try to get everything back on schedule. I know you've got some resources available. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, for sure. So one thing is, as you're adjusting your calendar and finding some new rhythm, you're going to get it wrong. Like you're going to have to give yourself a little time to figure out how long things really take because we all overestimate how quickly we can get stuff done. We underestimate it. We get it messed up.
Yep.
So you're going to project and in February, you're going to be like, this calendar thing's not working. No, you're learning your reality. So give it a little time. Be comfortable with it. This is not a hard thing to do. I don't care if you use paper calendar, digital calendar. You can do whatever, but find your rhythm. The other thing is we do have this thing that's tied to the Myth of Balance. You know, my book that released last April, it's impacted more leaders than we ever really prayed and believed it would. Like it's done really, really well in helping leaders. So we're opening up a new Myth of Balance workshop here starting in January. Just go to mythofbalance.com. You can sign up for it. It's free. It's a live 6-week session where we're going to work through some of the key practical things about your schedule and your calendar. We're going to talk about the routine, the sporadic, the unexpected things, those surprises that come up, how you manage those things.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a workshop guide that's free. That's part of it. So you get the book, that'll be helpful. But then you come, and we're going to give you all these resources that help you work through that as a parent, as a business leader, as a ministry leader. Here's some unique things that you need to process. And we're doing it in a group that'll have, you know, 1,500 plus people
wow.
in this group, all processing out loud. So you're going to get to steal other people's ideas on how to manage it.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, it's a new year. And if your plan to get better this year, be more productive this year, is simply do better, you're going to fail. Something's got to change. So we want to give you a resource and a plan to help you integrate that change.
Yeah. Frank, that is incredible. So it's themythofbalance.com.
Yep.
And it's completely free.
Yes.
Love that. Hey, so make sure you check that out. Frank, I just want to say thanks so much for your time. And the only other question I have is, can I get on your calendar so that we can catch up? Because this has been incredible. Seriously, this has been amazing content.
Yeah, of course we can. We'll spend time together.
Let's do that.
Yeah, we'll get that planned really, really soon.
You've just said it publicly, so that has to happen.
We're on the hook. We'll make it happen sometime in 2018.
Thanks so much. And make sure you check out Frank's podcast, The Discovering Leadership Podcast, on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Make sure you check it out. It's great. It's storytelling. It's 5 minutes. It's super efficient, but it's also super effective. So thanks for pulling that together as well, mate.
Yeah, I love it.
Cheers. Well, that was so practical, so insightful. I really loved so much of what Frank had to share there. Kevin, I know that you were in the room and I know we took a lot of notes together, but that whole idea of finding a rhythm in your calendar. And I mean, Kevin, I want to be honest and tell you that ever since that interview, I have ditched my to-do lists and I've been putting everything into my calendar in exactly the same way that Frank laid out. And the first week I did it, dude, it was like Tuesday and I'd already done stuff that I had set out for Thursday.
That's awesome.
I feel like I got so much done. It's been so helpful. But, you know, in all honesty, you have to stay on top of it.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things I learned about myself, I've been applying the same principle since we met with Frank. And here's my challenge. I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about like I am a we can conquer the world kind of person. But what that means is I suck. I mean, can I say suck on this podcast?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I stink, suck, whatever you want to say, at properly estimating how long a task takes.
Mm.
So I have now a new principle, and that is for Kevin Jennings, at least, it is whatever I think is going to take me to do, double it. And the minute minute I do that, I've actually been getting closer to practical.
That's really
I'm
good.
Sure everyone who I work with is probably like, yes, finally.
Yeah.
He stops telling us to do 6 month tasks in 2 weeks. And it's been true. I have to double it. But then I have to put on a calendar. And that's when it gets really powerful to say, okay, I actually can tell someone when I'm at capacity and know it.
That's really good. You know, for me, it was a different sort of challenge. See, I'm a networker. I'm a yellow. I like to be talking to people all the time. And so for me to actually calendar some time with my family, to calendar time with my wife, like, you know, when Frank was talking about how he calendars a walk with his wife every single night, that felt so insincere to me at first. But I got to tell you, man, I have put that in my calendar and I've got an alarm that goes off and notifies me 10 minutes beforehand. And that's that reminder that I need to actually go out and do it. And I've done that ever since we did that interview. I've been doing that with my wife, Meg. We go for a walk. We haven't done it every night. We're still getting into the habit of it. But I mean, it's a chance to decompress. It's a chance to reconnect right at the end of the day. I mean, it only takes maybe 10 minutes. Unless there's something really deep to talk about, in which case we do the loop again. But, you know, we've got this loop worked out now and it's such a great time. And it's in my calendar.
Ditto on that. Once again, I'm excited that both of us have been applying this because we're both being very sincere right now. 7:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings, my wife and I would have slept in.
Yeah.
After I came back from that, shared with her, we get up at 7:30 a.m. We will force one, even if we're asleep, the other person has permission to wake the other one up.
Yeah.
And we have an hour of just heart-to-heart time.
That's
like,
so good.
Like they're saying, hey, we know with a toddler who's now sleep schedule has shifted, we don't really have a lot of organic talk time unless it's late at night and one of us is exhausted. Probably me, because I'm a morning person, if you listened to last week.
Yeah.
and so with that being said, just saying, hey, 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning, like let's just sit here and talk.
Yeah, I love that.
About whatever, about our feelings, about dreams.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing. Like, I remember why I like you.
Yeah. That's so good to get that on a weekend. That's awesome. See, it's when I asked him that question about being a slave to your calendar, I mean, that was coming from my heart. That was like, because that was the tension, that was the struggle that I was feeling. But I just want to reiterate what he said. You can either be a slave to your calendar or a slave to your chaos.
Frank.
That is so powerful.
So good.
That is so good. Slave to calendar or slave to chaos.com is already taken. I've already tried. that was a great episode. Hey, I'm sure that there was something in today's episode that you've taken away, that you've taken a note of. We hope that this conversation was impactful and powerful for you. We would love it if you could share this on social media, share it with a friend, help get the word out about this great content. If you're listening to us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, please make sure you hit that subscribe button. That way you get notified whenever a new episode drops. Also, leave us a review if you haven't done so already. We would really love that. And check out the show notes at thinkorangepodcast.com. There is some great content in there, and there's some great questions for you to discuss with your team. This could be really a good team discussion, I think, about how a team can achieve more in 2018
Absolutely.
By applying some of these calendar principles.
Absolutely. And even trying to ask yourself, why do I feel tension about doing it? Because I guarantee for many people, if you're like me, who battle with letting people down and wanting everybody to be happy with you, a big part of it is saying you will have to recognize that you'll have to tell someone no.
Yeah.
And the desire to avoid that conflict might be the very reason you haven't reclaimed your time. But let me tell you something right now, if you're listening, your family might be the one begging you to say, do you love us enough to disappoint someone else? Oof. And if that's true about you, which I believe it is, if because you care about the next generation, I'm confident you care about your own family.
Yeah.
Do you care about yourself? Right. My counselor told me, and this is a powerful message, said, God called us to take care of his children, and you're one of them. Mm. And so maybe your health might be in the balance. You're saying, I haven't worked out in months, or I don't eat well anymore. Come rushing from meeting to meeting, grabbing random fast food. Maybe additional time you need to put on your schedule so you can plan your meals and hit those other goals you might have in your life. And the thing is, do you care enough about yourself, about your family, to disappoint someone else, to try, even just try what Frank presents today? If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
But give it a shot.
Give it a shot. That is so good. Kevin, is that question about why you feel tension, is that going to be in the show notes?
We can add
it. Or is that a bonus?
Let's put it in the show notes. How about that?
You should totally put it, because that's going to be a great discussion. Hey, we would love to hear about discussions that you have. Make sure you check us out on social media as well. And write us some notes. Write us some emails. We'd love to hear from you and what content you would love to hear in 2018 and how this content that you've been hearing has been helping you. Well, that's it for episode 39 of the Think Orange podcast. As we always sign off, I know Kevin's going to join me in this. When you think next generation,
think orange.
You did it on your own.
I did it. Solo.
Think orange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.